Hello, I'm Will Stein, and welcome to Geography Island Jams. This podcast is in the same style as the BBC Radio 4 Desert Island Disc series, whereby each episode I ask my interviewee what 8 songs, book, and luxury item they would want to take with them if they were stranded on a desert island. For rights reasons, the music has not been included in the podcast. You can find links to the 8 songs on the LSE Geography and Environment website. I hope you enjoy. Welcome to Geography Island Jams. My guest for this episode is Sonny Williams. Sonny is an LSE GNE veteran, as he has completed both his undergraduate degree in Geography and Economics and is in the process of finishing off his Master's in Environmental Economics and Climate Change. He is currently working on his dissertation, which is a willingness to pay study on consumer valuation for zero packaging products in UK supermarkets. Before moving to London, Sonny has spent his life growing up in Bristol. During Sonny's time at the LSE, he has lived in several places across London, his first year being spent at Rosebery Hall in Clerkenwell, his second and third living in Angel King's Cross, and whilst doing his master's degree, he has been living in Battersea. Throughout his time at the LSE, Sonny has been heavily involved in the lacrosse sports club, serving as the vice president for 2 years. Finally, Sonny is due to start at Deloitte in February next year, doing supply chain and network operations consulting. So welcome, Sonny.
Thank you very much, Will. Thanks for having me.
So when we were messaging before, you mentioned something about your swimming, drowning in Mexico with the whale diving. So what's all that about?
Yeah, that's a good place to start, I suppose. So as a young child, I was troubled with ear-related problems, which stopped me being able to swim, and I never learned how to swim. So this isn't a sob story, but I went off to Mexico in between my second and third years of my undergrad. And naturally, when you're in Mexico with your mates, people want to go swimming with whale sharks. I like my nature. I'm pretty aware of whale sharks are pretty big fish, and I can't swim. So the rational thing to do, obviously, would be pay some money to go and swim with whale sharks. So we got on this little speedboat and drove off the coast of Mexico into the Gulf of Mexico for probably about an hour. So quite far out. Definitely couldn't see any land. Pretty big swell. Got a life jacket on and a snorkel. And the Mexican man is just like, let's jump in. So there's this massive fish below me, like seriously big fish. Pretty cool. But I didn't really enjoy any of it. I was kind of just trying not to drown. Lots of spluttering. Didn't really understand how a snorkel works. Never used one before. So it's probably the most traumatic $90 I've ever spent. But I suppose I could say I swam / drowned with whale sharks.
I'd like to say I'm quite a confident swimmer. And even that, I don't know if I would have the guts to do that, even being a swimmer, let alone a not swimmer. Did they have to persuade you to do it? Or did you just not really think much about it?
It was just classic, just roped into it by your mates.
Yeah.
You live and you learn.
Yeah. So, Kit, we're going to kick off with the music. Can you tell me about the first song you're going to be taking with you?
Of course. First song is All These Things I've Done by The Killers. The reason behind this, I was going to say it's my first ever album, Hot Fuzz. However, that would be kind of a lie. I think my first ever album was the Bristol Rovers Supporters Club singing football chants, but I don't really want that with me on my desert island. So I've gone for my second album. And The Killers have this big part of my life, actually. I've seen them 4 times, been to Scotland twice to see them. Bit of a Brandon Flowers fangirl, if you will. So All These Things I've Done, probably the best song on the album. Yeah, it's been with me for a while, since I was a little boy. Still listening to it now, so it kind of feels fitting that that makes the number one spot on my desert island.
So you mentioned it, I guess, briefly there, but so I'm right in thinking you were born and grew up in Bristol?
Correct, yeah.
So whereabout, was it in the centre or was it on the outskirts?
It's pretty central, still suburban. It's kind of, I'd say the demographic is you're either a young family or you're a pensioner, and then there's this little group of people which never make a move away and are kind of in between at transition, which my parents were happy to know that they are nearly at the pensioner stage. So central suburbia, you know, pretty wholesome content, but also, you know, Bristol's a great city. Lots going on, lots of art, lots of culture. It's a pleasant place to grow up.
What would you say Bristol's best features are?
I think it's very unique. You know, it's got its own character, which anyone who spends time in Bristol, I think, realises that quite quickly. And it's kind of represented in its visual sense. There's, you know, tons of artwork everywhere you go. Obviously, Banksy's from Bristol, graffiti's everywhere. And then also it's kind of a transition to the people as well. It's got a very kind of easygoing way of life. It's quite colourful. The people are quite colourful as well. So I think that's really kind of where it stands out. And I think kind of, in my opinion, not biased at all, sets itself aside from quite a lot of other places in the UK.
And do you have any funny or mischievous stories from your time growing up in Bristol?
I was one story which is not loosely related, didn't actually take place in Bristol, but it was with school, so I think it kind of counts.
Yeah, go for it.
It's a school ski trip. I think I must have been year 8, 13, maybe 14. Full school trip as well, so it was like all the sick formers were there, you know, it's quite a big deal. Probably hadn't been away from home that much on my own without my parents yet. Anyway, fly off to France, it's all going well. Get to passport control, you know, I've got my passport, first time ever holding it on my own. Give it to the French man, you can imagine what he was like, not intimidating at all. Takes a look at it, and he just says, "No." I was like, that's never happened before. I've never got the no treatment. And my French, this is year 8 French, you know, I'm pretty limited. I could probably tell him what's in my pencil case, but I don't, you know, passport debates very well. So I kind of get a bit flustered. My headmaster comes over, fluent in French. And we get to the bottom. I mean, after a long chat, the guy's basically saying, this isn't you, like, this isn't your passport. I'm kind of like, well, it is me. Admittedly, I was due a new passport that year, so it did look a bit dodgy. Anyway, they're not having it. The head of security has to come over. I delayed a whole trip for a couple of hours whilst they take me into this room, and we're trying to convince him that this, like, fairly reputable boys' school from Bristol is not trying to smuggle in an illegal immigrant. Eventually, they do let me in. And I was able to go skiing. But looking back on the photo now, like, I'm 100% on the side of the passport control man. Like, it was a shocking photograph. I would not let me into that country any day of the week.
Can you now tell me about the second song you're going to be taking with you?
I can, indeed. The second one is called Big Sir by The Frills. Bit of an older song. You know, it's creeping in from probably a generation before. I don't know, maybe around the time I was born. But the reason behind this one is it's quite strong memories of, you know, family holidays when I was younger. We used to do a lot of holidays through France, rent a car and drive through France. At the time, it kind of seemed like a really nice thing to do. On reflection, I think it was my parents' excuse just to go to loads of vineyards and buy an aggressive amount of cheap wine with me and my sister just like tagging along, trying not to be car sick. And so a lot of it was car journeys, right? And one of the songs, which my dad's quite into his music, so he was quite strict on, would have been CDs back then before the aux came into play. But there was one song which we all just really like agreed on that is a great song, and that is Big Sir by The Frills. So whenever I hear that, it's kind of an ode to those memories. And, you know, if that song comes on now and we're all together, yeah, we're on our feet, you know. You could guarantee a good time. So I think that would join me as a nostalgic, you know, note towards my family and the fun times we've had.
Fabulous. So the next few questions are about LSE. You spent 4 years in total studying at the LSE. Did you have any preconceptions before you arrived, and was it what you expected it to be?
I didn't think I had really an idea of what to expect, to be honest. if we're going back to the very beginning, I was probably quite nervous. I actually tried to defer my offer, and at a C we're having none of it, because apparently your math skills go a bit sloppy if you have a year out.
I can definitely vouch for that.
yeah. So I was roped in, and I think it was just because it's moving to London's obviously quite a big deal when you're 18. Not that I was, you know, coming from the sticks or anywhere, but I was still kind of just like the whole thing was a bit overwhelming. But I think you quickly realise that it's quite a different experience. I remember going back for Christmas and, you know, chatting with mates from home and like, how's your first term been and stuff. And I think LSE is quite unique just because of the massive variety of people you get. You know, I also had friends quite quickly from, you know, all over the world, which not necessarily the same from other institutions. But yeah, I enjoyed it.
What do you think you enjoyed more, grad or postgrad?
It's postgrad for me.
Really?
Yeah, I've loved it. Just because I think two very different experiences. I think it's actually kind of unfair to compare them directly because I probably had different priorities, very much, especially the first year or two of the undergrad. It was very much just kind of a whole experience, you know, meeting people, kind of growing up, understanding yourself a bit more. Whilst the postgrad's kind of been, the education has probably been more the forefront, you know, the spearhead of the experience. I think from a perspective of like the work, the speciality of postgrad's been fantastic. The professors really know their stuff. You feel like you're kind of really like, this is not kind of, you're not a generalist anymore. It's more really kind of specialized knowledge. And I really enjoyed that. And the people on the course as well. Whilst it's, I suppose, great that you kind of, your undergrad is, everyone kind of has a variety of interests and you're kind of perhaps doing similar courses and you kind of bounce off each other, can be really interesting. Now to be in classes where everyone is kind of, there's different opinions, of course, but quite similar directions and mindsets. We had some good fun and really interesting debates and stuff and very interesting people, like a wealth of experiences. And I think as a result of that, you kind of build, well, I have anyway, perhaps stronger relationships with professors in the postgrad, a bit more personal. I'm sure they're super personal professors at undergrad too, but I think there's that extra bit of interest at postgrad level. Take you a tiny bit more seriously.
So I think we're now coming on to your third song. Can you tell me what it is and if there's any reasons why you're taking it with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Third song is Wetsuit by The Vaccines. This is a song which for me just sums up, I would say the age is a loose 15 to maybe 17, kind of those years where you kind of feel like you're starting to grow up a bit. And you have this kind of, it's like a faux idea of freedom and responsibility, which is ridiculous because you look back on it now and you kind of think you were still very much a child. But at the time you kind of, you thought, wow, I'm doing these fun things with my friends, you know, we're going on holiday. You're starting to explore new things. And I think that is a song which, Wetsuit by The Vaccines, very much my style of music at the time, going to a lot of gigs. And I think when I listen to that song, I kind of think back to those years, and they were really fun times, you know. I think they also probably play a part into who I am today, maybe if it's kind of invertedly. But yeah, nice to think back to those simpler times where your biggest worry was something completely trivial. So on my desert island, I think, to have that memory would be comforting.
So moving on now, still on LSE. So whilst you're a student at the LSE, you're an active member and committee member of the Lacrosse Sports Club, serving as vice president for the 2 years. Yes. But were you part of it in your first year as well?
Yeah, I was second team captain in my first year. So I was on the committee all of my undergrad essentially, and then this year I've played a more passive role. My time is up,
during the whole time in lacrosse, what did you enjoy most about being part of it?
I'm going to cheat and say two things. One of them is it was a really nice opportunity to meet people that I probably wouldn't have otherwise. You know, people outside of people you meet at halls, your kind of immediate friendship group you might make at university, or course mates, to kind of have that opportunity to, you know, I've made some really strong friendships with people in the year above me, the year below me, even 2 years below me, completely different courses, different halls, which I think has been really valuable. A good portion of the people I'm still in touch with now are people through lacrosse. So that's been great. On kind of a more less selfish level, it's been great to watch the club grow. So when I joined, it was LSC Lacrosse's first full year. It's pretty new. They started in December 2014, and it was just an excuse for a bunch of people to go to Carroll. And then, so 2015, when I joined, was the first full year. And it was Yana, who was the president then, just an incredible woman, just kind of created this structure, which kind of gave it longevity. And then this year, Laura Goddard was president, the new LSCSU community and welfare officer, and they won LSC Club of the Year, Sports Team of the Year. So kind of had it grown in those 5 years to be a part of that. Yeah, it's been really, really good to see. And kind of now it's a big, you know, big club on campus, close to 100 members. From what it started over those kind of 5 years, it's been really nice, really good.
So now moving on to your fourth song, can you tell me what it is and why?
Yes, I can. My pronunciation may be wrong. If it is, I apologise to any listeners. This one is La Onde by Ludovico Einaudi. Bit of classical music, this. You know, going to mix it up a bit. And this one is just a full-fledged tilt of the hat to LSC Library, which I feel, as I've spent, I don't know, just under a quarter of my life in the LSE Library, it would be rude not to bring those memories with me to my desert island. So I'm a library worker, you know. That's where the magic happens. So, and it can't be words involved, you know, Will. If there's words involved, I'm start singing in my head and the work's not happening. So it's got to be classical. If anyone needs a revision song, check it out. The amount of productivity that happens when this is playing, remarkable. So the amount of problem sets that I have, you know, cried my way through to this particular tune is substantial. It's kind of like a therapist. This soothing piano music in the background. So I think any stressful times on my desert island, struggling to get the fire going, didn't have a good catch of fish, put this on, relax myself, get the brain working. La Onde by Ludovico Einaudi.
So, as we've said, you're currently doing your master's in environmental economics and climate change. Do you remember when you first became interested in the area, like the environment particularly? Like, was it when you were doing your undergrad or was it afterwards?
It was probably during the undergrad. I took the classic Seffi Roth undergrad environmental economics course. I really enjoyed it. Probably my favourite undergrad module I took, which kind of put it on the radar for me. So obviously did the geography with econ. Undergrad, and I think actually I enjoyed the econ more than the geography. I think I was a bit more of an economist at heart, and I kind of felt I wasn't done with my education. I was in third year, I was thinking, what am I doing next? I kind of felt something wasn't complete, I think something wasn't finished. And I knew I was really enjoying my economics, and I really enjoyed this environmental economics module, and I had this interest in the environment. I wouldn't say I was like ravingly passionate environmentalist. I would describe myself as an environmentalist, but I also, there was kind of the economics drive coming through quite strongly. And when I kind of stumbled up across this course, I went and booked a meeting with Ben Groom, the course manager, and I think he kind of, in his classic sort of relaxed way, sold it to me that it was a good step to take and that I'd enjoy it and would hopefully do all right. So I put in the application, deferred it for a year, and then here I am.
Perfect. Can you now tell me about the fifth song you'll be taking with you?
Of course. Going for a bit of Fleetwood Mac now. Everywhere. It's a classic. And this song is just for me about, I associate it with traveling. I associate it with, you know, being away from home, going on an adventure, kind of not really 100% sure knowing what you're doing, but that's always kind of part of the attraction, part of the fun. You play that song, it's one of those ones where you kind of, like, associate it with, you're on a bus in some rogue country, you think you're going to the right destination, you're not really sure, and you're looking out the window, you got your headphones in, you kind of think you're in some like coming of age film, you're really not, but it's one of those tunes you've got playing. And yeah, Everywhere by Fleetwood Mac. Good memories. If that song's playing, it's a sunset in your mind and you're with your mates or something automatically. It doesn't matter if you're actually sat at your desk. And I think if a song can have that effect, it's a pretty good song. So I would like that to accompany, hopefully, the fantastic real sunsets I would get on my desert island.
Like, you seem like a well-travelled guy. Do you have a favourite place which you've been to?
Yeah, Guatemala. So I did this trip between my second and third years of my undergraduate degree, kind of over that summer, with four other LSE students. And we kind of started in Mexico and went south through Guatemala, El Salvador and Nicaragua. But Guatemala, for me, really stood out. It's just a country of outstanding natural beauty, lots of volcanoes, which are super cool. So kind of lots of hiking to be done, loads of amazing lakes, you know, great coast, and then just like a fantastic people as well. Kind of the indigenous Mayan population, there's still areas where that's really strong. So some fascinating culture, some great ruins. And yeah, just like one of those places where you can't even really fully put it into words, but there's just something about it which is just like a little bit special. Everything feels a bit different when you're there. Definitely on my list to go back. Guatemala, great place. No whale sharks either. I mean, there probably are, to be honest, but...
You didn't account for it.
Kept well aware.
And might link in, but do you have favorite meal, whether, you know, it could be a national or international dish?
I was asked this the other day and it stumped me. To be fair, it's not going to be Central American food.
Like, are you bringing it home? Is it going to be a classic British, or do you think?
I think I'm going to have to go slightly further abroad. I think I'm going Italian. I like to loosely label myself as a London pasta connoisseur. If you need a pasta recommendation in London, hit me up. Padella's my favourite in Borough Market. You may have to queue for a while, but it's worth it. Fantastic value for money. Great bit of pasta. So I think we'd have to go Italian.
Fab. And we're now moving on to your sixth song. Can you tell me what it is and for any reasons why?
This one is quite a new song into my life, but it's called Honey Buddy by Kishi Bashi. This song is just such a feel-good song. Like, you can't not listen to this song and be put in a good mood. I was on my ski season last year in Whistler in Canada by a couple of mates, and it kind of just became like an anthem, really. It was always, we'd almost play it daily, I think. And many memories of sat on chairlifts or kind of singing this song, or like skiing some runs and, you know, having us playing in the headphones. So it's got strong memories of a really fun year, great people, a few of us which have been dispersed now, you know, all kind of had to go back to various parts of the world. But I think this is a song which a certified crowd pleaser, at least in my head, which is all I need on the island. So Honey Buddy, Kishi Bashi.
The next thing I was going to ask you is all about the ski season. How long was that for? Was that for the year?
About 7 months. I left in November, got back in May. Yeah, so a good 7 months, 6 months skiing, kind of whilst the snow was there. And then there was a month at the end where we headed off to Vancouver Island and did a bit of camping, a bit of beaches, and, you know, pretended to surf.
A ski season, is that when, do you work there as well? Or is it just, so how does, yeah. How does
yeah, so a lot of work. We were working, I worked with Molly Tinker, who I live with now, who is also a LSE Geography, BA Geography graduate. And we were working as baristas, a little dynamic duo in a restaurant up on the mountain. Which was, and it was hard work. I mean, it was, worked 5 days a week. You were up at like 6 a.m. And then you'd ski on your days off. And obviously got to ski to and from work as well. So probably the best commute someone can ever have. But yeah, it was a lot of work, but an incredible place. Really cool people. Good fun. Would recommend.
Do you have any fun stories from your time out there?
Yeah. My first day, actually, the first day in Whistler, I arrived. It was kind of like student staff accommodation, very similar to like a university halls, probably a bit bigger. And there was another girl going who's a friend of Molly's, so who I also now live with in London. So obviously we became good mates, but we were kind of supposed to know each other right through this mutual friend. So I turn up, she's already there. And we decide to go out, have some drinks, and, you know, first night, very excited. And I, in kind of a slightly nerdy way, prior to my trip to Canada, really researched in detail what to do if you come across a bear. Because wow. I think bears are super cool and also don't want to be grievously hurt by such a large animal. So I've done my research, I'm ready, prepared with this knowledge. We're then walking home from this night out, and I'm like, whoa, stop. Like, there's a shadow of a bear over there on the other side of this bridge. And that all my instincts are kicking in, all this knowledge, all this research I've done. Elizabeth, my friend, is having quite a different approach to this sort of scenario. Her instinct is to approach the bear and maybe pet it. So like, whoa, this is conflictual for me, you know? I don't know this girl particularly well at this point. But, you know, survival instinct, I'm armed with knowledge here. So yeah, I'm like, no, you can't go closer. Like, we need to walk away. I'm talking to the bear, slow walk, you know, not being confrontational. And the bear's following us. This silhouette of the bear is moving with us. I'm getting a bit scared now. We move back the other way and the bear follows. It was at this point that we kind of realized maybe we had had one drink too many and the bear was actually just our reflection on the other side of the bridge. And it was our four legs which were following us. And to make matters worse, all I wanted to do in Canada was see a bear. And over 7 months, I never saw one. And that was the closest I came on the first day. And it was just our reflection. Karma to me for being stupid.
Can you now tell me about your seventh song?
Number seven, absolutely. Live Forever by Oasis. I kind of felt this song is in there for a couple of reasons. This is quite an empowering song, I think. I think it's, anyway, one of my important, I think, morals is to always be yourself. You know, be true to yourself, be confident, Be happy with who you are, not try and, you know, change to fit in with other people, that sort of thing. And I think this song kind of, if you're ever doubting that, or it's quite a good, you know, memory to kind of set you back on a straight course, if you will. So yeah, it's a powerful song. I like to listen to it, and makes you feel good about yourself. I'm also, I feel like an Oasis song probably did have to slip its way in there. I am a Man City fan, despite being from Bristol, and people naturally ask me, when did you become a Man City fan? And I say, 2010. And they say, when did Man City get all their money? And I go, 2009. to which they tend to roll their eyes and say, okay, mate, nice one. But very good memories watching the Blues. Been lucky enough to go to quite a lot of games. So I kind of felt an Oasis number to play tribute to that and to show my support from my island would be fitting. So Live Forever by Oasis at number 7.
What was your favourite thing about being at the LSE?
A bit of a cliche answer, but I think it's particularly true to LSE, who, especially since the 5 years I've been there, have not always been completely on it with some things. But credit where it's due, I think I can really see their long-term plan kind of starting to come together now with kind of the infrastructural developments and stuff. But the people really is kind of what it was and is my favourite thing about LSE. Sure, you learn some fascinating stuff, but it's coming from fascinating people with incredible backgrounds, incredible researchers and academics. And you have this unique experience where you meet people from all over the world, incredibly international, incredibly diverse backgrounds. You know, I think I'm really lucky to have friends now from all over the world, whether they stay in London or England, or whether they, you know, they've gone home and doing their own thing elsewhere. I think that's super cool. So it's the people I've met and will hopefully, you know, stay in touch with, do my best to anyway, as time goes on.
And that brings us on to your 8th and final song. Can you tell me what it is and any reasons why?
It actually leads on perfectly, which was not intentional again. But this song's called All My Friends by LCD Sound System. And this is probably the deepest song on my playlist. I think it is. It's quite a nostalgic song. It's about kind of looking back, and more specifically on quite fun times, and, you know, thinking how great those times were. It's nostalgic and in that sense. And I think kind of I'm in that stage where it's probably like even more applicable to someone that's 45 and someone that's 23. But you know, you're kind of going through different stages of your life, and it triggers kind of memories and thoughts of particular people. And I'm personally absolutely terrible at staying in touch with people, replying to messages, that sort of thing. So I think it's kind of a good little kick up the arse to me to kind of think, you know, text your mate, see how they're doing, what are they up to? They're doing something cool. And I think that would be an important and poignant thing to join me on my island and finish off my discs.
So we're now moving on to the final section. So as I think I've made you aware, you're allowed to take with you the Bible, the beverage report, and then an additional book of your choice. What is the book you're going to take with you?
This is an interesting one. I kind of was originally flirting with classics, you know, Clockwork Orange, 1984, those sort of things. But I kind of thought, I want a book which actually, I want a really just a great story, you know. And I've always been quite into Greek mythology and fantasy. So my book of choice is Circe by Madeline Miller, which is a book about Circe, who is the daughter of Peleus, who is a Titan. She's pretty cool. She's got some serious witchcraft powers going on, which is pretty threatening to old Zeus. Zeus doesn't like that. What happens? She gets banished to a deserted island. Oh, coincidence, that's what's happening to me. On this island, you know, some big names turn up. You get Icarus, you get Odysseus, Athena gets involved. People get turned into pigs. I'm not going to spoil it all. Madeline Miller's got a wonderful way of telling stories and developing characters, fantastic visualizations. And I kind of think it's one of those books you can read over and over again, a real page turner. And I think the connotations of me being in a similar experience would be quite helpful.
Fair. The last part, but obviously by no means the least, what is the luxury item you're going to take with you?
It's going to be a camera. I love taking a photograph wherever I go. That's a bit obsessive, but yeah, I'm known to take a photo, and I really kind of just enjoy snapping shots. And you know, it's not really like a profound thing where I know how to take photographs and like an artistic sort of thing going on. It's not particularly deep, like I want to see the world through a lens. Like, ooh, no, I just quite like it. And I in my mind, this island's going to be pretty cool. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm picturing a couple of waterfalls, maybe some sort of mountain, you know, some nice beaches. So good wildlife going on. So I think a nice camera and going to take some good shots.
Brilliant. Well, Sonny, that brings us to the end. Thank you very much for telling me about your job for Island Jams.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.